Hey everyone, welcome back to another episode of A Life of KG. Today we have Farah LeRae on the show, all the way from the US. She is a serial entrepreneur. We talk about her businesses, her product line. She gives us some golden nuggets on running a business. So it's a really, really interesting episode. So without further ado, here she is.
Are you a trainer with a salon or an academy and would love to grow with government funding, but just need some help and support? Or maybe you're somebody that would like to start your own academy or even just train. Get in touch today with TMB to help you on this journey. See our link in the show notes.
Thank you so much for joining me on my podcast. How are you today?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
Yeah, I'm very good, thank you. So can you give us a little bit of a download on what you do? Because looking at your socials and your Insta, you've got your fingers in quite a lot of pies.
Yes, and that's such a sweet way to put it. Yeah, I do a ton of things. I am a mom first and foremost, which takes up most of who I am, and I love that. But I'm a serial entrepreneur. I just launched a skincare line called LeRae Skin. I'm the founder of a community for female entrepreneurs and leaders called the Elite Society. I also have my own public relations and marketing firm where I work with up and coming business owners and artists and just amazing creatives and talented individuals to help kind of take their business to the next level by getting them exposure, whether that's interviews, media, television opportunities and things like that. I'm an author and a two-time podcast host, a blogger. So yeah, I do have my hand in quite a bit. But my number one thing that I focus on is I'm a refinement specialist for small businesses. I call it entrepreneurs and wantrepreneurs. And I kind of go into businesses and help them see like what are those areas that they need to work on. I kind of do like audits on websites, social media, name it. I just help them refine their business and take it to the place that they really want to see in the end.
Wow, I love that. So you must see then the inside of so many different types of businesses. What struggles do you find that lots of these small businesses are having?
That's such a good question. I think the biggest thing that I see on a constant basis is just imposter syndrome. I work with a lot of people who have great ideas. They have these really incredible hero products. They have something that people need, but people just don't know that they exist. And a lot of that boils down to them not fully believing in themselves or their abilities or comparing themselves to maybe a bigger brand. And it's like, you're just starting out, you know, there's no need to compare. But imposter syndrome is a big one that I constantly find myself having to work through with my clients, just helping them to really begin to believe in themselves.
That's such a word that's used quite a lot at the moment, I'd say, of the last couple of years. Do you think imposter syndrome is a lot more common now because of social and everyone comparing themselves to other people online?
Oh my God, I think that's a huge reason behind it. I think that when you have that access to be able to just unlock your phone and it's like this portal into everyone else's life and you can see just the highlight reels, right? Like not a lot of people are posting their downfalls or the days where they have no sales or their numbers are low. So everyone's posting their highlight reels. So I think social media is a big reason of why we have that. But I think too, it depends on where you come from, you know, just being transparent. Me, I'm an African-American woman. And in my community, sometimes that lack of support from your own community is there and it causes us to doubt ourselves and question, you know, what we're capable of. So depending on the community you come from, whether or not you have a great support system, which I'm thankful to have parents who are also entrepreneurs, so they understand it. But a lot of people come from families that they're first generational entrepreneur and they're having to deal with people like looking at them like, go get a real job. This is not sustainable. Like, you know, questioning what's going on for them. And so I think those are probably two of the biggest reasons where you come from and what you're looking at and comparing yourself to.
You mentioned that your parents are both entrepreneurs. What is it that they do?
Oh my God, my parents have owned so many different types of business. The one that we're kind of focusing on right this moment is called The Wynn Network. It's a global film distribution platform. So it's kind of like a Netflix or Hulu. So we have an app that you can download on your phone, your TV, your tablet, wherever you're streaming, you can get our app and watch our original movies, TV shows, and short films.
I love that. So, do you think that you are in business now because you've been watching your parents since you were young?
I mean, don't get me wrong. I've seen my parents work traditional jobs as well, which I've done myself, and I think is wonderful, because you learn a lot, working with other people and different cultures and in different industries. So I think that's a really great place to start. But for me, I've always wanted to own businesses and be an entrepreneur. I really got my start in like fashion. I always wanted to be like this big fashion mogul, and that was my first passion. But it definitely helped to be able to watch my parents and learn the inner and outer workings of it, from bookkeeping to what business credit is and how to get that set up, and bringing in different clients and how to do marketing. And I went to school for public relations and marketing, and that was influenced by my dad. He was like, "Look, this is something that I think you're naturally gifted at. See what you think about it, and go from there." And so my parents are definitely a big influence on my businesses and why I do it, and how I even got into it.
Yeah, I love that. You are a mummy to a
Yeah.
beautiful little 2-year-old girl. How are you juggling mum life as well as running all of these companies that you do?
Oh my gosh. Something that I have adopted is honestly working around her schedule, because especially when she was first born, I quickly gauged her schedule, right? So what time is she eating? What time is she sleeping? And I've learned to kind of compartmentalize my schedule around that. For me, that works, because now, when I first had her, I was married to her dad, and I think she was about 9 months when we split. And so my life took a really big shift. At the time, I was a full-time entrepreneur, but not head of household, right? So I had a lot more flexibility because of that. And so, becoming a single mother and transitioning, I was like, oh my God, I got to get a little bit more discipline and make sure that I'm a little bit more scheduled to make sure that I accomplish things. It is just me and her all of the time. So what I do now, I have an alarm that goes off 4 o'clock in the morning, and I'm working from 4 o'clock until 9 when she wakes up, getting things done around the house, working my business, making sure I'm accomplishing my goals. That way, when she wakes up, we have bath time, we have breakfast. I get her set up. She'll do her ABCs in the morning or watch some CoComelon or something, and I'm able to get back to work. And then we break in the middle of the day. We have lunchtime. And then because I'm starting my day so early, I'm able to end a lot earlier. And we usually just spend that time cuddling. We make dinner. She loves to come in the kitchen with me and try to help out, a little bit making dinner. And then we just kind of relax for the rest of the night. So for me, that's something that was really worked, just kind of working around the times when she's at her peak.
Do you find your little girl is like coping with you being a businesswoman? I mean, you've got that structure and everything there, and it sounds like you guys have so much fun during the day. But then when you are having to work and get on with it, is she kind of like really fine with that? 'Cause she's like, hey, this is what mummy needs to do. Because I might know my little girl, she's so good. Like, I could be like, right, here's some snacks. Mummy's got to do something now. After that, we'll do something really fun. And it's like, okay, mommy, I can do that. Like, do you find that your little one's starting to do the same, even though she's still really young?
So I think it's very interesting, because I think she's also like a creature of nature. So whatever habitat she's in, that's what she's adapting to. If we're on a staycation, like right now, it's all fun and games. Like, mommy's not usually working on station, so she's in full on play mode. But like when we're at home and she knows where things are, she knows how things are, she's usually a little bit more accommodating. So she has like a little toy laptop. She'll set up her laptop next to me, and she goes, "Mommy, I need to work." And she'll tell me she has to do some work, and she'll pretend to be on the phone and making business calls and things like that, because she knows that's that environment, and that's what we do. Even with my skincare, packing orders and shipping things off, she's right there with me, helping me, handing me products and making sure that everything looks beautiful inside. She's really a sweet girl, but she's like, aware of, okay, I'm in this environment, so this is how I need to be in this place and so forth. But yeah, she's usually.
Yeah, that's what it's like with us as well. I remember I had a client once and she had a little boy and she was like, oh, I just like, I'm trying to get stuff done and he's just not letting me get stuff done. And, you know, children are always going to be like that. They're kids, right? We've got to allow them to be kids. But then I was like, okay, when you're working on a laptop, why don't you just buy him like a little laptop that looks similar to yours? It's obviously like a kid's one and he'll feel like he's doing the same as you. And she messaged me like a week later and she was like, oh my God, the laptop worked. I was like, there you go.
It really does. I'm telling you. My little girl, she's so much like me. It's crazy.
Oh,
they
I
really
love
do the
that.
Things that we do. So, yeah.
They do. What made you want to start your skincare range?
Oh my gosh, this has kind of been years in the making, honestly. Going back to pregnancy, I had never really been into skincare. People would ask me like, what are you using? And it was literally like a bar of Dove soap and water. Like I did not have a skincare routine, but once I became pregnant, my skin changed dramatically, which I'm sure you know, like pregnancy, your whole body evolves, right? And so that was probably the first time that I really started to look into skincare products and learn what worked for me and what didn't. And it was a lot of trial and error. And I want to say, maybe when she was about 1 or 2, 1.5 years old, I was like, why not start my own line and do something that is like holistic, that what we stand for is really about gauging beauty from the inside out and not just I'm putting on or I'm doing this skincare routine to feel pretty, or I'm doing this skincare routine because I don't believe that I'm beautiful, but instead just constantly reminding people like you are beautiful. This is just like a little razzle dazzle, you know, it's just a little bit of something to make you excited to wake up and get your day started. You know, it's not really about the fact that this is making you beautiful, you already are. And so that's what Luray Skin is about. All of our products are dermatologist tested and approved. They are paraben free, sulfate free, cruelty free, gluten free. And it's really just about healing and a holistic experience for anyone who's using it.
Right. So what would you say has been like your marketing strategy behind the products? Because I know there's a lot of people that listen to this podcast that are wanting to start a beauty range or they want some type of product in their business to start retailing. What tips would you give them to be able to do that?
First and foremost, I think know your market. Who are you selling to? Do you already have a target group that is listening to you on that topic? Something that I started doing early on when I first started my journey, trying to figure out my skincare, before I knew I wanted to do a line, I started posting on my stories and I kind of took my followers along on the journey with me to know like, hey, here's what's working. Here's what's not working. Even when I first learned what it meant to gua sha and how to do that process, I posted on my story. So I kind of started warming my immediate following up to the idea of me being in that space. So I think, you know, take a poll, start posting, start figuring out what people like, the engaged audience that's actually commenting, that is actually taking your polls on your story, that are actually answering your questions. They will tell you what they expect or what they're looking for or whether or not they'd be interested in something. So that was the first step that I took. The next thing that I did was I aligned myself with other people in the space to kind of learn from them, right? So my manufacturer, she's based in Las Vegas. She has warehouses all over the country and in Canada. She's listed on the New York Stock Exchange. She's doing some amazing things. And she's been a friend of mine since even before I was ever married. And I connected with her and I got close to her and started just asking questions, you know, and learning what that industry looked like from her point of view and started getting tips and things like that. And then I tested it in my target market and I started asking questions to my group, people that I knew were already on my email list, people that were already followers on my Instagram, people that were already subscribed to my YouTube channel. And if you don't have any of these platforms, that's okay, but research is going to be your absolute best friend. Define what you want. Understand, okay, if I want to start a brand, but I only want one product, or do I want two products? Do I want an entire collection and a line? Like, you have to really sit down and define exactly what you want and then decide who is it for. And then if you're not already connected to that group, start connecting to that group. And then it just snowball effects from there.
You really, really do need to know who your audience is, don't you? Because otherwise you could just be selling something that you think everyone likes, but actually that's not what they want at all.
And then you'll have a bunch of product just sitting on the shelf that never gets moved because it's not for the right group. Now, I'm not saying by any means to tailor who you are and what you want to do to people, but you have to have people to buy the product. So if you, again, if you don't already have that group or that network, build it, you know, start going to events, start talking to people, start aligning yourself. An amazing resource, at least, you know, here in the US is Eventbrite. I don't know about you guys, but Eventbrite is one of the greatest ways that I've been able to meet people and connect. And so you can look up beauty events in your area, or you can look up skincare, just look up those keyword searches and start connecting with people in that space, because that's going to help you. It's going to diversify you, and it's going to open up your opportunities and the possibilities of what you can actually achieve. But as long as you're just like in your head about it, nothing's ever going to get done. In order to sell to people, you have to connect to people. You have to get to know people, get to know what they like, and then, you know, just kind of showcase that and broaden your reach.
Yeah, for sure. Because you might think that your target audience might be on, let's say, Instagram, and actually that might not be where your people hang out at all. It might be Facebook, or it might be YouTube.
Yeah.
So you're actually not even reaching the people that you need to reach. So you really need to figure out, okay, where do my audience sit? Where do I need to go and find them? Is that networking events? Is that on social? Is that on email? Is that in a Facebook group? Like, there's so many different places now to reach out to people. And I also think that people think it's just social. Like, people's marketing is just social. It's so much more than just social. Like, social is one tiny little piece of the marketing. And so I think it's just about people learning, like, what else can they do to build their audience? Because audience building takes a long, long time to do that. And it never really stops, does it? We're always building an audience.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Someone with a background in public relations, there's so many other avenues for even just getting that press and that exposure, right? You can talk to your local newspaper. You can write to different magazines, whether that's digital or print. You can connect with bloggers. You can send your product to some people who you feel your brand aligns with, right? Whether that's a celebrity or an influencer, or just even a micro influencer. I think too, sometimes we underestimate the power of micro influencers, who maybe they have 1,000 to 2,000 or even 5,000 followers, but every single person in that audience is engaged, versus someone with 100,000 followers and they're only getting 200 likes, right? Mm-hmm. There's something to be said about that too. But we underestimate the power of really expanding our reach and connecting with people outside of the norm. Like, sit down, write it down, like, get a notebook or a piece of paper, or go on your computer. What are all of the different outlets that you can reach out to? You know, there's a lot of people who can't necessarily afford a publicist right now, or don't really want to get into working with someone in public relations. That's totally fine. You can do it yourself. But write down all of the blogs, the art, or the news outlets, the magazines, the Facebook groups, the podcasts, the radio shows that would promote your type of brand. And instead of asking for promotion, because promo costs, reach out to those people and say, hey, I'd love to come on and be interviewed about my brand, blah, 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 and go from there. It does not have to always be promo, because that's going to charge, they're going to charge for that. But you have an opportunity where the world has become so much smaller, number one, because of social media, number two, because of COVID, where people are more open now. They're more receptive now to learning about your brand, learning about your product, learning about, you know, what you have going on. If you haven't yet launched your brand, you can even start a focus group, right? So if you have a platform that's built out, I was watching a YouTuber the other day. She has a focus group from her YouTube subscribers that she's handpicked a group of 50, and they do Zoom calls to talk about her new launches and what they expect from her. Like, there are so many ways to do what we want to do. You just have to really sit down and think outside of the box and don't doubt yourself. Like, don't doubt your abilities and what you're capable of. Know that this is what I want to do. I'm putting my mind to it, and I'm going to make it happen.
I love the idea of a focus group. That is so good.
Yeah.
Have you done that yourself before?
I'm launching one right now as we speak. I've actually been emailing with some girls that have been following me for a while, and I'm actually creating my own focus group.
I love that. What a great idea. I can't wait to see how that all plans out.
Yeah.
So one last question, and then I'll let you go off with your little girl. So what would you say is the biggest lesson you've learned in business so far?
There's so many, so many lessons. I think The biggest thing I'd have to say is, I'm going to say it a loose term and then I'm going to explain, but do you? I've seen a lot of times in my business and then working with other clients, listening to people who are just being opinionated about your business is not the way to go, especially family and friends. They'll tell you, oh, do it this way, or oh, don't do it that way. And we listen, trying to take heed or make sure that we don't make the wrong decision. But at the end of the day, the only one that has to make to live with the decisions that you make for your business and your life is you. And so at the end of the day, you got to really, even with all the focus groups and with what everyone is saying, there is this innate gut feeling that we have that leads us to do the things that we're supposed to do. And it's good to get advice. It's good to, hear from other people. But if you have this gut feeling that you need to take your business in a certain direction or not to take it in a certain direction, or, I've had people that wanted to become co-owners of businesses with me and, collaborate on certain things. And if there's something in me that's like, this is not going to be the right move for your business, don't do it. 'Cause I've gone there, I've overrode that feeling and I saw the demise, like, oh, this was not a good idea. We should not have done this, So listen to yourself. I believe that if you were called to be an entrepreneur, if you were placed on this earth by God to be an entrepreneur and to spread the word and to impact people the way that you are, then he's also equipped you, right? Like you're also equipped to do those things and to be that entrepreneur in that industry at this time serving this group of people. So trust that feeling and make sure that you're making the best decisions for you and your business, regardless of what anyone else thinks.
Amen to that, girl. So, where can people connect with you?
I'm all over social media at It's Farrah Larae, so ITSFARRAHLARAE. From there, you'll be able to see all of my other pages, my other businesses, all of the skincare brand, everything that I'm doing. That's Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, Pinterest, Twitter. I said Twitter, Snapchat, anywhere you're on. LinkedIn at It's Farrah Larae and connect with me. I'd love to meet you.
Perfect. We will add all the links in the show notes. If you love this episode as much as me, please go and share it and tell all of your friends and also subscribe and leave us a review. We'd be really, really grateful. Thank you so much for giving up your time today, Farrah. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. I've enjoyed this and I love talking to you. So thank you.
You're welcome. You might have already seen that there has been a price drop and a name change to my membership. It was originally called Coffee, Cake and Chat, also known as CCC, because we opened over COVID and we all needed a strong coffee, lots of cake and lots of chatting to get through that time. But we're out the other side of the pandemic now and we needed to rebrand. So I have called it Clients, Cash and Community. Because we all need clients and to hold on to them clients, we all need the cash and community is key in business. This membership is for anyone within the beauty industry. And when I mean beauty, I mean aesthetics, makeup artists, lash techs, salon owners, anyone whatsoever, hairdressers, you are all welcome. So see the show notes below and you can join now at only £39 a month. That's less than one treatment a month and that's covered. You'll be able to build your business within this membership. You're going to get mentoring from me. You're going to have expert guest speakers. You're going to have a community of people that you can go to whenever you wish. It is a must have as a business owner. I look forward to seeing you there.